pasuk Hashem yischak loy ki ro'a ki yavo yomo. Hashem marks the Rasha. Hashem marks the Rasha. Hashem sees that the day of reckoning is going to come for the Rasha. Okay, cheref pasu rishayim. We'll go from first to the stroke of the whole case. Try the whole case over here. Cheref. Cheref pasu rishayim v'doruchu kashtam lahapil ani v'evyon. Now this pasuk is going back and is returning to the Rasha. We are focusing on the wicked person, and the wicked person, he arms his weapons. The sword, he opens up. What does it mean you open up your sword? I guess it means that you unsheath the sword. You have to read the words backwards. The Rasha'im, the wicked, paschu cheref. The wicked, they open up their sword, they unsheath their sword. Next, the doruchu kashtam. It's a different expression. A bow is pulled. You bend the bow. You bend the bow in order to give it pressure to shoot the arrow. And what is the goal? The goal of the cherev and of the keshes, lehapil ani v'evyoin, in order to bring down the poor and the destitute, litboyach, and to slaughter Yishrei Dorech, those who are upright. Okay, so very violent pasuk, describing all the different techniques of the wicked person. We once spent time learning the difference between the cherev and the keshes.
David didn't like
David certainly did not like the wicked. David, for some reason, he's very passionate about the wicked. You don't see people with such passion of wicked people like David. David had this incredible passion to eliminate the wicked people. Now, over here, we spent a lot of time learning that the word cherev generally refers, to the B'nai Esav. The weapon of choice for the B'nai Esav is the cherev. The weapon of choice for the B'nai Yishmael, Vayihi Revek Hashas, is the bow and arrow. Here it sounds like there's a world war. There's a coalition between all of the wicked people against the Jewish people. There's the Cherev Paschu, Rishoim. This is Esav. Esav, whose weapon of choice is the sword. The Doruchu Kashtam, that's Yishmael. And what is their goal? The goal is Lahapil Ani V'Evyon, to knock out the Jewish people who are poor and destitute. Litboach, to slaughter the Yishrei Derech, those that go on the proper path. Let's go to the next pasuk. Yes.
So happened this morning, I saw Medrash further ahead in Hillel, which is also found in the
Torah.
This refers to Avraham and his war against the 4 out of 5.
Avraham who?
Avraham's war
against the 4 out of 5 kings.
Against the 4.
Yeah.
And it talks about the dust turning to arrows. No, the kash turning to arrows and the dust turning to swords.
Yeah. Then okay, so you have these two things. You say over here that this pasuk, they dash this pasuk in reference to Avram. Avram, and he is the subject, and Avram being the enemy.
He notes it here, but Rashi notes it, I see. But I found it further ahead.
Okay, we'll see. The Medrash is gonna. Okay, it's not on. Okay, it's, okay, we have to see. Okay, we'll see. We'll see. All right, sounds very interesting. Okay, next, pasuk says vav charbam tava b'libam, may their sword. Now David here is cursed. David over here is going again. David over here keeps on vacillating between the wicked and the tzaddikim. The wicked plan to bring out destruction, and then David curses them that they may their attempt to harm the Jewish people may boomerang upon them. Charbam tava b'libam, may the weapon that they lift against the ani the evyain and the yishrei leiv, may it backfire, and may the sword enter into their heart. V'kashe soisam ti shavarna, and may their bow, may it break them. May they be broken by the bow. Now, what does exactly that mean? I mean, sometimes when you, I'm assuming this means that sometimes when you try to push the weapon too hard, they will get injured. They will injure themselves in attempting to shoot the weapon. Okay, like, I guess it's the same thing, that both these examples is that the weapon will malfunction and by the weapon malfunctioning, they themselves will basically kill themselves. Each pasuk over here is a world to itself. This pasuk says that it's better to give a little bit to the tzaddik. A little bit for the tzaddik is much better than a multitude of there are two words here which really mean the same thing, mehamoin and the word rabim. Better for a tzaddik to have a small, it is better the small amount that a tzaddik possesses than the enormous amount of wealth and multitudes that accompany the wicked. Ki zero ois rishoim tishavarna, the arm of the wicked tishavarna will be broken. Tish, you will break tishavarna. V'soimech tzaddikim Hashem, and Hashem is the support of the tzaddik. Yodei Hashem yimei simimim, Hashem is aware of the days of the righteous, so the upright. V'nachalasam lo'olam tiyah, and their inheritance will be forever. Okay, we have over here how many psukim? 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 psukim. Let's try to see the mefarshim on these 6 psukim in one shot. First, let's start with the Mitzvah David. The Mitzvah David over here on page 332. Hashem, Aval, Hashem Yitzchak al Harosh, Hashem laughs, Hashem mocks the Rasha. I'm sorry? The first time I saw that in the city when I went to a bris mitzvah, I was trying to, and I made it. I thought it was a typo. I thought, how could it be? How could it be? You know, that was a long time. How could it? It's got to be a typo. Boy, was I wrong. Boy. You should know how to read. Okay, and there's what's the difference in the gematria between the word Yitzchak, between Yitzchak and Yitzchak, is 210. The difference is the article footnote. It's not a typo. The difference is 210 has to do with the 210. The shibud of Yadoya Teidek Yiger Yitz. I don't remember the whole drush. The difference in the gematria between the word Yitzchak and Yitzchak, the difference between the letter Tzadi and the letter Shin is 300, Tzadi is 90, is 210. So what is that coming to allude to? It's obviously 210 are the number of years that the Bnei Yisrael suffered the Shibud of Mitzrayim. So this Jewish Yitzchak is the first one to have a bris milah. Has to, obviously, again, this is not for now, another time. But let's go look over here, the Mitzvah David. Over here it says Hashem will mock Yitzchak. By the way, I once came across a fascinating, I don't remember if it was a medrash, I don't recall, but we do know that Avraham and Yaakov had a change of name. Avraham was originally Avram, and it was changed to Avraham. Yaakov was Yaakov, and it was changed to Yisrael. So it's not fair, zelo fair, that Yitzchak did not get a change of name. So the truth is he does have a change of name. Yitzchak. And there's an interesting debate, this fascinating debate. What was his original name? Was his original name that they gave by the Bris Milah Yitzchak, and it was changed to Yitzchak, or is his name Yitzchak and it's going to be changed later to Yitzchak? Okay, so Yitzchak also has a change of name. Let's go further. It's too bad we can't ask Rav Chutner to tell us the drush. His name was Yitzchak.
Didn't Hashem give him the name?
What? Didn't Hashem? Oh, yeah. So what does that mean exactly? Hashem is telling him to change the name? It's interesting. I'll tell you a joke. This is a joke. No, people have a very... Rav Chutner, he did not, it seems, did not, although he was a genius, but he didn't remember the name of every single Talmud. So sometimes he was embarrassed that he forgot the name. You know, he has a lot of students, and he forgot this fellow's name. So he once said to one of his students, can you tell me one more time how to spell your first name? So he says Yud Tzadi Ches Kuf Yitzchak. That was his name. Okay, certainly Rabbi Yitzchak couldn't knew how to spell his name in Hebrew. Certainly. So when he tells his student, "Oh, I forgot how to spell your name," implying that I know what your name is. I just don't know how to spell your name. Can you? I spell my name Yud Tzadi Ches Kuf Yitzchak, just like your name. Gotcha, huh?
מה קורה? כל השומע יצחק לי. עולם זה צחקה שרה. יצחק זה לשון של
Someone says just the opposite. I hear what you're saying. So that requires a lot of analysis. What is it? Tzchoik osali elukim kol hashmi yitzachakli. So you have to really go into the mefarshim. What exactly was Sarah saying? Is she saying it's like people they're gonna mock me or they're gonna rejoice with me? Okay, it's not so simple. Obviously there are different mahalchim to understand. You need a lot of background to understand what exactly what she's saying. And we can translate very simply. Anyone that hears the good news will rejoice with me. Chazal say that on the day that Sarah was nifkad, many akoros. It wasn't just the Simcha HaKadosh Baruch Hu, when he opens up the heavens and he brings down Yeshua, salvation, he doesn't just do it for one person. It's anyone that wants to tag along, wants to chaperayin, can join along. When HaKadosh Baruch Hu brings a Yeshua for a person, the heavens are opened. And salvation comes to the world for all people in that similar matzah that need help. Kol ha-mispalol ba'ad chaveiro v'hu tzorach lo'oislav hu nene t'chila. It's on the same boat. You're traveling on the same connection. So when Sarah was nifkad, kol ha-shemea yitzachak li, they will rejoice together with me because they also are going to be recipients of the same benefit. Now, in that interpretation, what Yitzchak represents joy. But on the other hand, the words Vatitzchak Sada Bikirba Lemar Acharei Viloisi Chaisa Li Edna Vaduni Zokain. The simple interpretation is not really joy. It's like, come on.
Skepticism.
Skepticism and really, really seriously. So in that context, on a very simple level, it's mockery.
So she's mocking herself in a sense.
She's saying like, him. Right. Ah. And Hashem was upset? Why is she doing this? It's not nice.
I was foolish to be skeptical.
So in that context, it doesn't sound so good. But when Sarah then said, Tzchoik osali elokim, kol hashmi yitzachakli, and Rashi, on that comment, and Rashi there says that when Sarah was nifkad, many other akoros, they were certainly happy for themselves. They weren't joking, they were happy. And when Sarah had, it was a great joy. So you see the word tzachoy is being used two ways. It's being used two ways on a very simple level. Obviously, you know, you'll dig very deep and you'll show it can be used both ways. And now take that and add to the mix the word yischok. Yischok. Is yischok mean a sublime joy, a pure joy? Or is yischok mockery, the ultimate mockery? Goes both ways. It can go both ways. So it's okay. But it's a different word. All right, so you're using the same word, but the word is being used differently. Okay, we could do that. We do that all the time. A word, we always say, like we learn in the afternoon, Chumash Rashi with the Targum, we always say, Lashon HaKodesh is not like any other language. In every other language, a word has a definition meaning. You go to the dictionary, there's a defined meaning. Sometimes you'll have A, B, C, D, they'll give you 10 meanings. But at the end of the day, it always comes down to a definition. In Lashon HaKodesh, it's not the case. A word is an abstraction. A word is an abstraction, and the meaning of the word is defined by its context. You have three letters which make up the root, and this root is a general abstraction of a concept. You want to solidify it? You want to solidify this the concept? Well, every single pasuk will get its own mold. The word, as it appears in the context of other words, by the way, each word is like that. You know, each word is playing up against all the other. That's the beauty. That's the complexity. Every single word in the Hebrew language is an abstraction, and it gets its definition based on the context and its neighbors. Whoever your neighbors are, and likewise, each one of the neighbors also is an abstraction which becomes molded based upon their neighbors. And, you know, it's an incredible, fascinating, like your neighbors on your block. You can't say that, or your neighbors, the people that you deal with all the time. If one person did not exist in this world, and that person was missing, all of the people that are not in his company, they develop differently. They develop differently. And if a person would have been in the presence of someone else, Who's your spouse? Who do you marry? The person you marry changes who you are. There's nothing to talk about. The interaction of two different people or multiple people completely creates a dynamic that defines who you are. In language, especially in the Hebrew language, it is exactly the same thing. You cannot take a word in a vacuum and just tell me the meaning of this word. No such thing. Tzadi, ches, kuf, is an abstraction. It's an abstraction. It means some type of the emotion. An emotion has gone over its bounds, has broken out of its limitation. Normally, a person is a certain state of being, and now, because of an event, he has been shaken out of his complacency in the form of laughter. Now, what does that mean? It's an abstraction. Take the word, put it in the context of a sentence, understand the subjects, the people, the context, what's going on. Oh, now the word has been molded. It has been formed in this context. You take exactly the same word and put it in a different passage with a different subject and a different story, a different sequence of events, then the world is molded in a completely different way. It's nothing more than abstraction.
You so, he was saying,
I'm smiling now. Now Hashem is smiling. But that we're dealing with the Russia. We're dealing over here with the Russia. So what do you mean Hashem takes joy? Does Hashem take joy in destroying the Russia? How do we look at this? This is a very. How do we look at when Hashem punishes the wicked? I mean, justice must be served. How do we react to it? It's a very complicated thing. I don't know. Okay, let's see over here again. David wrote it. Hashem Yitzchak Loi. But he's saying, he's referring to Hashem. Hashem is laughing at this. At the end, Ki Ro'ah Hashem sees, he saw, by Hashem, past and present, the future is the same. Ki Yovo will come, the future will come his day. All right, let's see the Mitzvot. Let's see the Mitzvot tries to define it. The Mitzvot again on page 332, Hashem Aval. Okay, the Mitzvot, he loves to add words. He adds words into the pasuk. Aval but. Hashem Yitzchak Al Harosha will laugh. Ki Ro'ah. Hashem saw it in the past tense. Sheba yoim misasai tedem yaseh horo'ah. His death will come. So he's saying over here a whole different idea. This is not the way you would read the you would translate the pasuk, not for the mitzvah of it. We're reading it in a very sublime form. Oh, we're looking to Yemos HaMashiach, looking to Olam Haba, looking ahead, and who knows when. No, you don't have to go so far ahead. Let's be very practical. You have over here a plan. You have a wicked person who has a plan to do a terrible, terrible crime. And Hashem, what is the expression? Yiddish, man plans and Hashem laughs. Right, maybe. Everyone here knows it so well. Only me doesn't know it. So L'chaira, isn't that expression, isn't the source of that expression, this pasuk? Hashem yischak loy ki ro'ah ki yavo yomo, according to the interpretation of the Mitzudos David only. Look again. Hashem laughs al harasha ki ro'ah shabo yoy misasai terem yaseh horo'ah. The wicked person has a plan to do evil. And Hashem says, yeah, so when is the date of the holdup? You're going to the bank, you're going to hold up a bank. We're going to do it next Thursday. Hashem, yeah, but don't you know that you're not going to live that long? It's scheduled, the Malach HaMavis is scheduled to take you next Tuesday. So Hashem is laughing, you're making plans for next Thursday and you're not going to be alive by next Thursday because you're going to die from natural causes by next week. So Hashem is laughing. You can make all the plans you want. You don't know what I have in store for you. And my plans can have nothing to do with, it's not necessarily because of your Russia. It's because anyway your time has come. Rashi says over here, yeah, Mitzvah says Hashem is laughing at him because the Kira, his day is going to come. He's already going to leave this world before he even planned, before he has an opportunity to implement his evil ways. Pasuk Yudalit, Cherev Pasuk, Pasuk, Ritzon Lamar Ho Tziua Mi Ta'ara, unsheathed. The sword has been unsheathed. Al Yisalel Choger Ki Mefateach. What does that mean in English? Unsheath your sword. To open up, to be poseached, like in this pasuk here as well. Paschu, paschu rishon, the cherev paschu. It is an interesting word because isn't there another word? Is vayorok es chanichav. Ordinarily, when you want to mean unsheathing the sword to arm. Okay, vachamushim, chimush also means to arm. Mizores, there are so many other words. This word, you say, is crude. It's too simple. If you want to be sophisticated, you would... Shalufa. Oh, that's the good word. Shalufa, unsheath. So what is a cherev pasuchu? Pasuchu is, it's too simplistic. That's like, you know, you want to get some flavor in your vocabulary. But that's what he says. That's what the Mitzvah says. The Mitzvah says, Shliva. The Mitzvah says, when it says with the Pasuk, it's a very simplistic form of like you said, Charbo Shalufa, an unsheathed sword. You would expect Shalufa, that's a more poetic, a more romantic word. This word is too simplistic. Right, it's like, you know, you have a limited vocabulary. You talk to someone that's not a native, someone that's from another country, and they break their teeth on speaking English. So they say funny, but just like what I sound like when I go to Israel and I try to speak Hebrew, they laugh my head. They laugh their head off, like you say you don't know what you're talking about. You sound like you're saying half English, half Yiddish, half Gemara, Aramaic. They really laugh when you talk Aramaic to them. Right, you talk English. It's like it's such ignorance. They laugh at you. I told you the best thing, that if you ever want to learn how to speak, this is an incredible, someone told this to me, and I tried it, and it is unbelievable chokhmah. If you go, let's say you go to Israel, and you don't know Hebrew, like you don't Hebrew, so you take with you for the day, you take a 7-year-old kid, And he's going to be your interpreter. And you're not embarrassed to ask the 7-year-old kid, how do you say this, how do you say that? And the kid loves it. It makes them feel so important. And they have nothing else to do anyway. You go get an adult to come with you, be your interpreter. So first of all, an adult has an attitude, and they have their own problems, and they'll charge you an arm and a leg for 1 hour of accompanying you to teach you the language, how to speak modern Hebrew in society. They'll charge you, and they'll give you a whole attitude problem. You take a kid, you take your nephew, your niece. I deal with them. It's unbelievable. The kid loves it. They feel like $1 million. And there's no busha in asking them, how do you say this, how do you say that, how do you say that? And you learn very quickly, and they teach you very quickly. It's a win-win. Win-win. The people, they pay thousands of dollars a course how to speak. You want to learn how to speak? You go to Eretz Yisrael, get a child. Okay, you have to get a child. Take with you the whole day with you a kid. Go to France. You get a kid. Find some kid that will come. One of the little kids, 6-7-year-old kid, will want to come with you. Take him with you the whole day. Boy, you will learn more on that one day how to speak the language. Then you'll sit for months taking a course. And paying an enormous amount of money to learn the language. You'll know it a lot better because somehow when you go in real life, you get onto a bus, you go into a taxi, you go into the store, and the kid will teach you exactly what to say. It's an incredible experience. Okay, paschu. So here is a word which is a little bit strange according to the Mesudas. Paschu said, Lemahot si'ua mitara, lahapil, lahapiloi mace. The weapon will bring them down. It will pasuk yidale the doruchu kashtam lahapil ani. What do they want to do? They want to destroy the poor man. Okay, to bring him down. Next pasuk tezvav charbam aval charbam tavoy belev harashem hohem. May the sword go right back where it came from into their own belly, and may the bow may it break them. Tishavarna lebal yuchlu lirois bohem hachitzim. May the bow the kashi soisam tishavarna. According to the Mitzudah, you see, this is not what I thought when I read the pasuk. I thought tishavarna refers to the people. The people who are trying to shoot the bow, they pull back, they don't know how to operate the weapon, and in the process, they hurt themselves. If you don't know how to operate the weapon the right way, the machinery, the right way, you can kill yourself. A person operates a crane. You ever see, they always show these little videos?
A better example, when terrorists have what they call a work accident.
Oh. You don't know how to operate the machinery, you hurt yourself. So I thought that just like when it says in the pasuk it says charbam, they're so tovel vilibam should come into their own heart, it means a malfunction. They don't know how to operate the sword. So too when it says vikashe soisam tishavarna, I thought the subject of the word tishavarna are the people who are operating the bow and arrow. They don't know how to operate it, and they are broken. They break their bones. That's not what the Mitzvah David says. The Mitzvah David says is that they're fine. The people who operate this weapon, they walk away unharmed. The bow, the weapon, does not function.
It's not kashtam, but kashtotam.
Rabbim, their swords, all of them, their many bows, all of the Lashon Rabbim, all of the Shalohem, all of their bows, they all jam. They all don't work. The weapon itself has been destroyed. Okay, now we go to pasuk the next pasuk tazayin toif hamaad sheish la tzadik. He has a lot of words to make sense. All these psukim and tilim are all riddles. A little bit for the tzadik is yoyser tov meho isher raf. He adds the word oisher. Whoever said they're referring to wealth. He says it was the hamoin. He learns that the hamoin refers to money. Well, not necessarily, but because in the mitzvah of possessions, it means a lot. Shabiyad Roshoim, Ke Pasuk Yizayin, Ki Zira Ois, Lefisha Yushpar Chozek HaRosho, Loishra Asher Biyado. Once the wicked have been eliminated, they've been broken, and there's nothing remains in their hand. Avol,
or at least their power.
Their power has been taken away. Avales atzadik, samech Hashem supports the tzadik, mashayesh biyadam tiskayim, what they have will remain. Tzadikim, the few dollars they have will remain. Okay. Pasuk Yuches, yimei simimim, kama shanim yehyu v'nachalosam. Hashem sees kama shanim yehyu, he sees how long they will live. V'nachalosam, ma'at me'atoiva, shehin chilohem ha'mokam, yiyashamur etzlam lo'olam kol yimei chayehem. Their inheritance will be guaranteed forever. So he's saying over here, a very basic principle is that although the wealthy, they have an enormous, enormous amount. This is not so uncommon. You go look at people. They were once enormously wealthy, money beyond anyone's wildest belief. And then, Rachmana Litzlan, they find themselves in a matzah where they mamish don't have a penny to their name. They don't have a penny to their name. Destitute. And then you have people that have a small amount, they have a simple job, they make a few dollars, and they never go away. They survive an honest living, and they don't have a lot, but they have a kiyum. They sustain themselves and they're secure. It's an amazing thing how only Hashem runs this world. Pasuk, let's see over here the Rashi. Rashi, Cherev, Paschu, Rishon, Paschu, we now call upon our world-renowned old French experts.
Anyway,
got inflation.
It's clear that Rashi disagrees with the Tzudas about the word paschal, right?
What does it mean according to, what does it mean?
All right. It almost sounds Jewish. And by the way, he skips it in here. So, on Kumen Zeron, which means they started up or initiated.
Tigor. Provoke. To provoke the cherum maschilim hodesha me'aleim, a quarrel. Provoke. A tigor is a fight. Provocative behavior. Chedev paschul risham. They provoke war. Okay, does not mean they unsheath a sword. It means with a sword, they provocative. They provoke other nations to fight against them.
He's saying they started up.
They started up. They took the first shot. In a war, when a war breaks out, the question, you have a very hostile situation, and any moment in time a war will break out.
Or even not. It could be just started out of, you know, without a pretext.
Okay, but they're the ones who start, okay? They're the ones who start. Tigar v'cheirum, a quarrel, and a cheirum means
a quarrel and strife,
okay? Quarrel and strife. Maschilim harishoim me'aleihem. They open up. They open up on their own, unprovoked. Unprovoked, they initiate strife and quarreling.
Instigators.
Good. One word says it all. The wicked are instigators. That's why the word paskul is more appropriate according to Rashi. It's not telling, that's the word shalufa. Shiluf, which means to unsheath. Unsheath just says you arm your weapons. Battle stations. Get your weapons, get your nukes armed. That's not what it means. Because if it meant that, then you would say the word shalufa. The word paskul means they're instigators. We're dealing with these people, they're wicked, and they have nothing to do with themselves. They just want to make trouble. And they paskul to show them. The next words of Rashi, and then the Rashi.
The perfect word in the Chumash for using double meanings is by Hero Bek Ashos, and a bow, and a rainbow.
The Keshas.
The Kashmir, I saw Keshas Banon and Vahiro Bekashas. They both mean a bow, but a rainbow and a bow. Arrow.
Okay, obviously. The rainbow resembles the... Okay.
Yeah, but I mean, it's obviously, if you can't make one or the other in the book, it depends on the pasuk around it, obviously.
And the context of what it means. Absolutely. Okay. I saw you get really good share. You got such a reaction there on the chat there, Ramayevsky. Rabbi, do you know Rabbi Maevsky speaks every night to thousands of people, according to some?
No matter what my wife says.
Tuesday night at 9:50.
You don't know, you do Monday.
9:50. No one listens to. No one listens to. One person. Shouldn't say one person.
Two. I get Sandy there also.
Sandy. Stinny doesn't always listen to me. Not always. Sometimes.
Well, depends. They listen during the week. My wife gets feedback when people in Flatbush here. Yeah?
Yeah?
She goes to a shiur, they come over and tell
her. 9:50 Tuesday night. It's on the chat. The number's on the chat. Tune in. Okay, so Tov, over here we are, Tov Ma'at Latzad, next part, Pasuk Tezayin and Rashi, Tov Ma'at Latzadik, Tovim Ma'at Anoshim Shaholchim Le'ezra Satzadikim. Another dispute between Rashi and the Mitzudas. Whereas the Mitzudas says refers to assets. The few little possessions that the tzaddik have are really more valuable than all of the wealth of the wicked. That's according to the Mitzudas. Rashi says the subject is not objects. It's human beings. The few people that assist. Toivim ma'at hanashim shaholchim le'ezras ha-tzadikim me'hamoin rishoim rabim. Amrofel, here is where Ramachol cited from the Medrash. The Medrash in Bereshis Rabbah. We're dealing over here, this pasuk, according to the Medrash, is a pasuk describing then he was Avram, when he went to save Lot, and he went up. He went into a world war all alone against four kings who had conquered the five kings. There was a world war between the five kings and the four kings. Yeah, the four kings.
You got to back up a step because it fits here.
Omar,
All right, continue.
Over here, there, Avram was one person. Vayorok es chanichav yilidei beiso. Who? Eliezer. One person. Some will tell you there were 300 and the Gematria. I'm sorry, the other way around. Kurum, this is the Pshat of Kurumkeit. Kurumkeit, when you take the drush and you make it into the ik, mamish, this is the problem that I'm not the only one who has this problem. You take the ikr, It says in the Pasuk there were 318 people that accompanied Avram to go to save Lot. Suicide mission. How do you think that 318 plus Avram, 319, is going to succeed against a world of who knows how many people? Who knows? Were there millions of people then? Were there hundreds of thousands? It's not so clear. No one really knows what no one knows what was. But these were armed, trained people. Who knows? This is a civilized world. The civilized world. We don't even know how many people lived at that time. There's no way of knowing how many people lived because there were so many disasters and from that time and people died. Whatever it was. But unbelievable how many people. It's suicide. And when you want to make it even the bigger kasha, when Chazal, Rashi on the Pasuk says that 318 is Begematria Eliezer. Mm-hmm. It was only one person. So it was suicide. Yet it says the one person, Eliezer, or the Chanichov, if they were his students, his young men, they are more potent. They are more potent than all of the armies, battalions of Amrofel and Nimrod and all the whole Chevra. Yeah,
that's an important.
The whole chevra, they're much, much more valuable. Amrafel v'chaveirav, his chilu Amrafel v'chaveirav. Notice something over here. This is a very interesting Rashi. I remember seeing this somewhere else. The Rashi over here concurs that it says here, but I'm going to say the nusach. When you read Chumash, you learn Chumash, you learn about the five kings, the four kings, so it says all their names.
Right.
And it doesn't tell you that anyone was more important than the other. It says there was an alliance. Today, you know, today, I remember years ago during the Persian Gulf War, before they had, it was a different Canada those days, Canada before, what's his name? I can never pronounce his name. Trudeau. What a character that guy is. Before he came along on the scene, it was a different country in those days.
The father
was?
Yeah, father.
Oh, really?
Pierre Trudeau.
What happened to him?
What happened? His son is now the
Yes, yeah, so where is he? Where's the father? He died?
Yeah.
Okay, so those I remember it was Bush W and they after 9/11 they went to war and Bush W Bush W. What? What am I saying? George. George W. No, George W. This is a picture in my mind, my scene. I remember it was George W. And they went to strike. They went to Afghanistan, they did some coordinated strike in Afghanistan, or maybe it was, I think it was Afghanistan, and he thanked the coalition. And he listed off all these nations, and he left out Canada. And they were so angry, what did already Canada do? They sent 2-3 planes. What did they do already? They sent a couple of, some potato chips. They gave some potato chips. Where are the chips today on the back table over here, Mayor? They sent some potato chips. Some potato chips there, whatever. And they were so insulted. You gave this speech on this world platform thanking all the nations that participated in this attack against the evildoers, the axis of evil, and he left out Canada. Good morning. Good morning. Shalom Aleichem. Watch your step, please. Watch your step. Watch them. And he was so insulted, and he had to apologize publicly. So what do you see from that? Every nation thinks they're the greatest. Every nation thinks that they are a shakel keneged kulam, right? They got a point. You know, we also risked our lives. We also gave up our young men and our weapons. V'chula. Everyone. So when you read Chumash and you read about the four kings and the five kings, those nine kings, every single one that's listed is given their honor, is given their duty, given their cover. No, you don't get the impression anyone is more choshuv than the next. Rashi here says, and this is not only the only place, and Rashi over here says it's not so. There was only really one person that really counted. Everyone else was just peanuts. And that was Amrafel. Amrafel v'chaveirav. Amrafel was Nimrod. Omar li Avram, he said to Avram, pull, fall into the Kivshan Ha'esh. He was the only one that really counted. He was like, you know, the leader of the non-free world. He was the leader of the pack. A leader of evil. And the other ones that it says there, the other kings, this one and that king, they were just peanuts. They were small potatoes. They got credit for political reasons. The Torah went and listed their names, each one of their names, whatever the reason is.
And darshans them.
But it's only, this is a very important Rashi. This Rashi is a lot of chidushim in this Rashi. Am Rafel Vachaveirov. What is the parallel? Lahavdil Elif Alfei Havdolos. Multiple times over, and that is the Asara Haruge Malchus. We read the Asara Haruge Malchus, we list every single one, not everyone. Unfortunately, our Kinas is missing too, but there were some of the new ones, put them back inside already. I see a lot of the newer Kinas put in the missing line. Our school, for some reason, they don't want to put back the line that's missing. Only eight. They know, it seems like they really know. The standard version in the art school, Kinas has eight. And if you look in a lot of the Svarim, it says we have the original, and this is a missing line, and these are the other two. And the article doesn't even put it in the footnote. But a lot of the new editions of Kinais that have been published recently do put it in. They actually put that line. Notice that they put the line back in. For some reason, the article is holding out. They still don't want to put that line back in, but that's not what I want to do. We do mention all of the names of the Asaru Gemachos. Yet when you look at the rabbinic literature, as Rabbi Kefik would say, you look at the rabbinic literature, it says Rabbi Akiva Vachaveirov. Rabbi Akiva is the leader of the Asara Haruge Malchus, and what's shocking is he was the last. Right. On the timeline, they died over at least a 52-year period of time. Some will tell you it was even more. It was a 90-year period of time. The first ones to die on the timeline was Rabbi Shimon and Rabbi Yishmael. They died before the Churban, in fact. Before the Churban, they were killed. Al-Kiddush Hashem. And Rabbi Kiva was the last. Mamash the last. Haruge Beitar. 52 years later, at least. So, and yet, in rabbinic literature, the one that, when you talk about the Asaruge Malchus, the Roisham of Rabbi Akiva, who it's not even so clear they lived, I mean, did they live in the same time? Did they overlap? Did Rabbi Shmuel, did Rabbi Shimon, did they know Rabbi Akiva? Probably, you have to go look in the Gemara. Maybe they, I don't know. Did they know of each other? Did they see each other? Because the timeline is a little bit different. Stama they did. Yet it's Rabbi Akiva Vachaveirov.
Rabbi Akiva lived till 120. So
and how long? But they also lived very long. They also, Rabbi Shmuel and Rabbi Shimon, they also lived very long.
Very long time.
Okay, so I don't know this stuff, but it's very, very, I remember the first time that I heard this, I was very like intrigued by this. Asara Gemalchus. Each one is choshev in their own right. Absolutely. Absolutely. You know, a lot of differences in the, you know, each one. If you look very carefully, in the Kina, each one was killed differently. Every single one of them died a different Nisa Mishuna. They didn't all die the same way. One was burned. One was killed by a sword. One was shot with arrows. One was they flayed his flesh. They flayed his skin alive. Every single one, if you look very carefully, died a different Nisa Mishuna. And also, if you notice very carefully, many of them had a different title. One was called Rebbe, one was Rav, one was a Chosid, one is a Sofer, one is, it's interesting, they had different titles. They referred to by, like, and some just by their name, just their name, the name alone. It's fascinating, and, you know, it really goes like today. Today, you know, everyone today, like in society, they have different titles by the Svardim. So they're called the Chacham, and even in Eretz Yisrael, the chief rabbi is the Rishon Litzion, and the chief Ashkenazic rabbi is the Rav Haroshi. They have different titles.
Chover,
exactly. And a Rashiva you call a goin, or as Rabbi Rakefet says, Al Tikri goin and lagoon. Okay, yeah, it's just a joke. Don't do it so what?
I was in a
yeshivas there, nobody was called up as a goyim.
What?
Saying, wow, terrible. I said, I'm embarrassed to be here. No goyim, it was not perfect.
It's like the CDC. What does the CDC stand for? The CDC. The Center for
Disease Control.
Otherwise known as the Chachmei, the Chachomim, Dikihilas Chelm. At least you get a laugh here. Okay, but putting all joking aside, the Asara Haruge Malchus, they're, each one is a Kodosh in their own right. And each one died a different Misa Mishun. Each one, many of them have different titles. Yet, in rabbinic literature, it's fascinating. They're called Rabbi Akiva Vachaveirav. The Roishim of Rabbi Akiva hovers over them all. Here, Lahavdil, it's very interesting that here, Rabbi Rashi, and it's not only Rashi, Rashi is taking this from somewhere else, because I remember seeing the whole little shtickle Torah on this. It's although the Torah enumerates all of the nine names, they're not all the same. There is Amrofel Vachaveirav. Hischilu Milchama Bo'ilam B'Shvil Lishbois Esloit Ulehiskodois Be'Avraham. This is exactly what Mechol was saying over here is, and that fits beautifully with Rashi's interpretation of Pasuchu. They wanted to a wedge.
A whole war.
This is mamish. The technique, time, ancient technique is the way. There's a very scary thing. Governments, whole governments are mamish built upon this. The government spends enormous amounts of money to protect the family of the head of state. Okay, you have a head of state, and they have a family all over the world, and every single one of the members of a head of state's family gets secret service, a whole detail which costs taxpayers. You can't even imagine the amounts of money that this costs taxpayers. Why? Because even if you have a head of state that is so honest and so principled, if you go and you blackmail him by telling him, guess what, we have taken hostage your child, and if you don't do what we want, we're going to kill him. And that technique, unfortunately, in world history, has been proven to work, to be able to bend and corrupt even the greatest of the great. The greatest of the great, once you say to them, we have half hostage one of your children, still hate, quietly, you better go and pass this legislation, or you're done, or he's going to die. And don't make a fuss about it. Don't let the world know that he's a hostage, because we'll kill him on the spot. Can you imagine that happens all the time, all over the world? Happens all over the world, in all these countries in the world. There are, I think, how many countries are there in the world? 167 countries in the UN, something like that. This happens Maisim B'chol Yom. You don't hear in the news, because they threaten. If you make a fuss, they'll kill. So this is nothing new. This is what Rashi says happened with Lot, with Avram. You have Avram, he's spreading an ideology in the world that there is a creator, there's a Ribbono Shel Olam, that does not fit the narrative of all of the heads of state of all over the world. It's not good for business that there should be a Ribbono Shel Olam. So what do? We're going to fight with Avram? We're not going to fight with him, because you know, it's not politically correct to go fight with Avram. So you know what we'll do? We'll take a hostage. We'll take Lot. And Lot, Avram, he loves Lot, and then we'll use Lot as a wedge against Avram. Isn't that what it says over here?
No.
Let's read the words first. Then you'll look. Yeah.
He was the whole point of taking Lot hostage. The whole point of starting the war was to take Lot hostage. They could draw Avram.
Right.
In.
It's okay. You're right. I'm not saying the same thing. It's the general, in an abstract form, it's me and you were on the same page.
The arch nemesis of Avraham. He started this whole thing
to get Avraham. So how do you get, you can't go out, you can't attack him head on. It's not going to work head on, whatever the reasons are. It's not going to work, so you do it indirectly. How do you take what is meaningful to Avraham? And that is, Hischilu Milchama Bo'olam. Why? Why did they start a war? For one reason. B'shvil l'shbois eslot, The whole world was to get the chap load, ulis gores, to use load as a provocative wedge, be'avraham. It gives you a whole new shot in the Torah. You learn Chumash Rashi, you don't see this in Chumash Rashi. You learn Chumash Rashi, yeah, there was a war. Why was there a war? Whatever. There was a war, they were fighting over fossil fuel. It's right, exactly. It says for 13 years, the 13 years, the five kings, whatever, for 13 years, the four kings serve the five kings. And then they rebelled for 12 years, 13 years, then they rebelled. And then after they rebelled, we can't tolerate the rebellion. A world war broke out between the four kings and the five kings. And who won the battle? The four kings. And then when the four kings won, then they captured Lot. Okay, that's what it says in the Chumash, right? And that's what I always thought it meant.
Like it was incidental.
Incidental. The world, Oylam Noye Kimin Hagai. Oylam Noye Kimin Hagai, the world goes on its own. Avram Avin, who cares? One guy living in Bnei Brak, living in Koil Chazonish. What does Avram have to do with the whole world? The whole world, there's four kings, five kings, they're fighting over this Narishkai, that Narishkai, garnish and garnish. And then what happened? Lot was in the wrong place at the wrong time. Jews, they like to make some money. They thought they can be a supplier for whatever it is, an opportunity to make money. He's in the wrong place, the wrong time, and he was captured. Oh, now Avram has to go and save his. That's what it would seem, right? That's the way the world seems to us today. What do we have to do? There are wars going on in the world. Everything is going on. What does that have to do with us? Nothing. Nothing. God, the Supreme Court, they're fighting about how to define biological terms, right? They're fighting about it. What does it have to do with us? Nothing. Zero, zilch, zippo. Guess what? Look at this Rashi. That time, there was one person, Avram, he's sitting in Bnei Brak, Kol Chazonish, minding his own business. The whole world, the world war, was all about him. All about him. A whole new perspective. And the whole war, and they knew they can't go. They can't go to Bnei Brak to go get him there. They knew it's not gonna go off well in the New York Times. A gewaltige Kunst. They'll go and they'll make a whole world war in order to chop one person, and one person that will draw out Avram into the limelight, and then we'll finally be able to take down Avram. A whole different picture. Everything that happens in this world is for Klal Yisrael. What is going on in the United States in the Supreme Court, what's going on in the border of Texas, what's going on all over the world, it's all about Klal Yisrael. The whole Chayei Olam, beautiful Shteltzu, Jewish on the Pasuk, the Chayei Olam, we don't see it, and in fact many of the Gedol Yisrael tell us that in our generation, Enochanami, stay away. Just stay away from this. Don't focus on this, because we're so far removed. We're in Golis, and we're so vulnerable, and we're so far removed from you know, any of helping ourselves. We have to just sit in our own corner, be mispalel, pay attention a little bit to what's going on, have emuna that everything that's happening in this world is all about us. But don't get too worked up about this. Because our avodah is not in our generation to leave it to the askanim. Don't get too involved. But as far as emunah,
I assume you don't mean the ones in the center of the FJJ.
Definitely not. They're minors. They're under bar mitzvah, most of them.
And that includes the adults.
In mind and spirit. but. This is an incredible Rashi. You know, you just can't just gloss over this Rashi. This Rashi over here is telling you incredible, a whole different perspective on a story. Yeah, but Rashi says what Rashi brings out. There are many Midrashim. And the ones that Rashi selects.
The fact that he connects this particular pasuk to that well-known.
And it's an incredible insight to understand the Milchama of the four and five kings. Incredible, incredible. We were talking about Amrafel, the Chaverav, that's a chiddush in and of itself. And then it says, Hizkhilu Mulcham bi Olam, they started a war. Why? What for? Because they want oil? Is that the reason why they want oil? They want land? They want who? What do they want already? They want lithium? To make lithium batteries? What do they want already? Go look at all the conspiracy. Look at all the conspiracy stuff. What do they want already? No. What? It could be that was a precious commodity in those days. Ain't a chanami. We don't really know. But whatever we think it is, we're all wrong. Rashi says we're all wrong. Those are just excuses. It was excuses for what they really want, what the real prize is. The real prize was Avram or Avraham. Bishvil, and they had a clever technique. Lishbois to conquer es loit. Once Lot has been their captive, oh, now who's going to come to save him? Ulehiskarois be Avraham. Incredible, incredible, beyond belief. What Rashi over here is how he's taking. It's a medrash, obviously, but Rashi just bring our to people like me who don't learn medrash, bring our attention to this medrash. Umeat anoshim shayu im Avraham hitzlichu. Then the next passage goes on to say that you're a bunch of fools. You think you're going to bring the whole world? You're going to succeed against Avram and his 318 men, or Eliezer? Umeat anashim shayu im Avraham hitzlichu. They were successful. V'harigu kol oisen ha'uch lusin, the entire multitude. I always tell you that story. I'll tell you the kids and difference in 10 seconds is the Talmud. They say this at many different gedolim, the Meshech Chachma, a Baruch Ber, the Chavetz Chaim. I don't remember two versions of the story. He went to a play that the Maskilim put on, and at the play they were showing Milchemes Goy Gumagoy, right. And they showed on one side of the stage the war machines of Goy Gumagoy, all the tanks and the airplanes, v'chulu, the nukes. And the other side they showed the Machlekes, who they showed the Meshech Chachma, the Chavetz Chaim. Let's say Baruch Ber and Chofetz Chaim, make believe, and they show them standing there, you know, dressed like Rosh Yeshivas. They can use it. Each one can use a new hat, get a new suit, and they're holding in their hand bows and arrows that you buy Lag BaOmer in the 99-cent store. They're holding in their hand those type of bows and arrows, right? And they said, oh, Mulchama is going to go. Oh, it's time to go to Mulchama. So Baruch Ber says. So the Chofetz Chaim says, Rabbi Baruch Ber, nu, Rabbi Baruch Ber, Rav Shiva, Adam Gadol, Rav Shiva, Mechubid, with the first shot. Mechabed you to take the 99 cents bow and arrow, and the first shot against all the tanks and nukes and laser-guided missiles and aircraft carriers. The billions and trillions of dollars of world technology that you never saw before. And the Rabbi Rechman says, no, Chofetz Chaim. It's like a koyin. V'kidashto, it's the Melchemes Mitzvah. Davisha b'kidusha. They knew how to learn very well, these maskil. Davisha b'kidusha, mechubit, the Chofetz Chaim, with the Ereshto, the first shot. And they're arguing, and the audience is laughing hysterically. Such laughter you never heard. And then the curtain closes. And this Talmud, who wanted an escape from the yeshiva for a day, wanted some entertainment, he was very shaken up. And he goes back to yeshiva. This is how they tell the story. You can interchange the names. I'm not sure I'm saying the right names. And he goes back to Baruch Ber, and he says, Eschato'ai ani mazkir hayoim. I wanted a little vacation. I wanted some entertainment. I went to the play, to the Maskil, and there we were having a show. Melchemes Goy Gumagoy. You know, action, a motion picture, action thriller. Okay? I wanted to go see the play. I went. And this is what I saw. And it bothers me to no end. The late Tzomus. Now, Baruch Ber, the story goes, is very shaken up. And he started pacing Kedarkoy back and forth, stroking his beard. And after thinking about it a long time, he says to the Talmud, he says, you know something? That's taka the way it's going to be. They were mechaven, the maskilin, once in their life, to amita shel Torah. That's the way it's going to be. That's taka, amita shel Torah. That's how it's going to be. And today we learned the pasuk that proves it. Mamish, the pasuk that proves that they were mechavein for once in their life to amita shel Torah. where it says Umeat Anoshim Shahayu im Avraham Hitzlichu, they were successful, Vaharagu Kol Oisan Huchlusin. The entire multitude of Amrafel Vachaverav, they were successful, and Maisa Ova is similar bottom. Maisa of a similar bottom, Avram and Amrafel.
And made what?
Avram the king. Okay, Yodei Hashem. That's right. That was what came next in Achanan. Right. It's Ma'isa of a similar bottom. Pasuk Yitches. Eretz Yisrael. Absolutely. Next, Pasuk Yitches. Yodei Hashem Yimei Simimim Maker Es Maaseh Yimeihem. Now that's not what the Mitzudah says. Machlekes. The Mitzudah is in Rashi. Mitzudah says Hashem knows their Kama Shonim Yichya. A whole different halach in the pasuk. The Mitzudah says Hashem knows the future. I guess according to the Mitzudah, we're going back to the beginning of pasuk Yud Gimel, where Hashem Yischak Loi Ki Ro'ah Ki Yavo Yomo. According to the Mitzudah, Hashem knows that the Rosh is planning to do a crime, and Hashem laughs. You're not going to live that long. You're planning to rob the bank next Thursday. You only got in this world until next Tuesday. But in contrast to the Rasha, who Hashem sees has a few days left to live, Hashem knows Kama Shonim Yichyu, the Yimei Simimim, the days of the future. And then when it goes on to V'nachalosam, and the Nachla that they have will be forever, Rashi says a whole different mahalach. He says it's not the future, it's the past. And it doesn't mean necessarily time. It means the maisim toivim of what the tzaddikim have accomplished in the past. Yodei Hashem Yimei Simimim, Makir Es Maasei, the deeds of Yimeihem. And in other words, it's a very powerful pasuk because you go to the cemetery, the mayor takes me to the cemetery, look at all these people. It's very sad. You look at these people, every single person, you look, they are mamish, it's like infinite. You go to these cemeteries, it's infinite, the number of graves. And this is just a tipa shebiyam of people that lived in this world from the time of Maaseh Bereishis. And every person has a story. Every person can talk, can tell you things you wouldn't believe, to bring out the incredible things of the Kiddush Hashem in this world. Everyone. And you look at these graves, and there's grass growing, there are weeds. Mayor, you know, he's a tzaddik mayor. He goes and he sees a grave that's full of weeds, he cleans it up. He comes there, he takes away all the weeds, and he makes it beautiful. Someone should see the matseva. What? Perpetual care. Mayor only does the ones that don't have perpetual care. He helps the mamash.
Is it perpetual or eternal perpetual?
Eternal perpetual? Eternal. So, you look at these people, who remembers? Who cares? You look at these matzevas. Who knows? Who cares? Who would know? They write on the matzeva a few words. Someone knows, someone cares. There's a whole world. Every person is an oilam katan, the whole world. Not a whole oilam mole. Pasuk here says, make no mistake, every single matzeva, every single grave, every single person, Hashem knows everything. Every little detail of their life is known before Hashem. Nothing is for Yodea Hashem Yimei Simimim Rashi. Makir Es Maasei Yimeihem. V'nachalosam V'kibul Sechoram. The reward Me'itoi Li'olam Tiyah. Okay, it's a very powerful pasuk to think about when you look at the graves in the cemetery. All right, we have to stop. We did at least the whole page. And Amir Hashem, tomorrow we'll go further.